Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
No more simulcast the rest of the day, but we're still here on radio, ladies and gentlemen. You're hearing us. You're hearing us on radio. Cannons are on the TV side.
That's right.
Thanks, Sarge.
I said that's right, and they just scored 1-0.
Terrific.
Yep.
Save that for the headlines.
I got it, baby.
I'm not going to break in during the course of this show with your cannon scores. Much as we like the Quincy Cannons.
Quincy Cannons.
Play in Boston anymore.
I know. Yeah. Great stadium over there. Veterans Memorial?
I don't know why we have to call them the Boston Cannons. They play in Quincy.
It's by my pay grade to say that.
Sarge is the PA announcer for the Quincy Cannons.
You were at the first game.
I was. I got to make it back over there.
Come on down.
So, hook you up. Hardy was there, too.
Oh, wonderful. Do you have a good time?
A great time. I mean, I've done a lot with the Cannons.
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
It's a good product. It's a good team.
We've worked together couple of games. You were the on-field host one time.
I used to be, yeah.
Yeah, back in the day.
Celtics yesterday waived former first-round pick Gershon Yabusele. Over the last two seasons, he averaged 2.3 points and 1.4 rebounds per game. He was one of the Celtics' three first-round draft picks back in 2016. He was the 16th overall draft pick in that draft in 2016. Jaylen Brown was in that pick. He was the third overall pick. Yabusele did not work out. Raw talent that was taken at the time with the hope of developing into something more, he didn't. He's not an NBA talent. He's not going to have a career in the NBA. It's over for him. Maybe another team picks him up, tries to get something out of him, sends him to a D-League team somewhere else. I don't know. I don't really care. It's over for him in Boston, and it should be. They gave him a shot. It didn't work out. So we sort of brought this up, I don't know, maybe a month ago. We just briefly discussed the Celtics and picks that were down the draft board because I think we were getting ready for the lottery and for, you know, where the Celtics are going to have picks, and they had picks coming up and where they could potentially land. And I know that I was saying at the time, I'm not that excited about the Celtics picks because I don't think they're worth anything. And they typically aren't. They're assets when you have them. And they haven't really materialized yet. They can be assets. Many of them are lottery tickets. It turns out many of them don't really cash in. Sort of like playing lottery tickets, right? They're great when you buy them. When you have them in your hand and they're not scratched yet and you're looking at them and they have all the potential in the world, you could have that $1 million winner in your hand and then you scratch it off and you more than likely have nothing.
Right.
Now, that's what they are.
It's not a perfect analogy because you've got more than a, you know, 1 in 250 million chance. But if you've got, you know, a fistful of Powerball tickets, say, you know, five of them, and it's a Powerball where you've got maybe 1 in 1,000 chance of winning $1 million, would you sell them right now for $10,000?
Yes.
Yep.
So with the Celtics, they've done many trades over the years where they've acquired potential high picks that sometimes turn out to be lower first-round picks, as we've seen it happen in recent times. And so one of the questions we asked when we talked about this about a month ago was, have the Celtics really gotten anything out of the lower first round? And the one guy we thought of at the time that we came up with, and I think we even like didn't come up with him right away, was Rajon Rondo. That's sort of the guy to point to.
Yep.
That you can look at and say, there's a guy that Danny Ainge and the Celtics acquired, you know, outside of the top 10. And you know what? When you really take a look at the list.
He was hot early on. Really hot early on.
What do you mean?
In his first few drafts.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were getting ahead. I thought you were talking about just Rondo was hot. I'm
like, Rondo. Yeah, yeah.
Like, Rondo was good. I actually look at the list, and I actually think the Celtics, I don't know. We didn't go through every team. But just based on looking at the Celtics list of picks outside of the top 10, with my preconceived bias that outside of pretty much the top 10 and definitely outside the top 15, that the NBA draft is very much a crapshoot and, for the most part, crappy. I think the Celtics have done okay and probably better than most teams. And we'll get to how it applies to Gershon Yabusele in a minute. Because there's been one name that keeps getting brought up as a guy who's been drafted after Yabusele that the Celtics somehow missed on, that I think it's sort of unfair. I'm going to defend Danny Ainge and the Celtics. I'm going to be a green teamer for a minute, if you let me.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the first-round picks outside of the top 10 during the Danny Ainge era. 2003, Marcus Banks at 13. Kendrick Perkins at 27. That's a find at 27.
That's fantastic.
Good job on Kendrick Perkins.
Straight out of high school, but yeah, good pick. Very good pick.
Good pick. 2004, Al Jefferson at 15. Delonte West, crazy, at 24. I mean, he had his mental issues, and he obviously had his ups and downs, but that's an NBA player. Tony Allen at 25. Clearly could be someone you had a handle at times off the court, but certainly an NBA talent.
Yep, a player.
A player, a real
good
player.
Good piece on a championship team.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Defensively, terrific. Tony Allen at 25. That 2004 draft, they hit it out of the park on those three picks. 15, 24, and 25. Great job outside of the top 10 and 15 and down. 2005. At pick number 18, they took Gerald Green. Not a horrible pick for number 18 in the draft. Not bad.
Not good. Not bad.
No, it's not terrible. Like, it's not someone.
Not a total bust.
Not a total bust. I mean, he was.
But at 18, you shouldn't pick a total bust. I mean, it happens.
It's the 18th pick.
Okay. All right.
That's how I look at it. A guy you remember. You remember what he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's still playing. So, I mean, he's a 10-year-plus NBA guy. So.
He's an NBA player.
Yeah.
Rajon Rondo, 2006 at 21st overall. That's a good pick.
That's a good pick.
2008, not so much. J.R. Giddens.
Who?
30th overall. Harder to pick there. 2010 at 19th overall. Guy who this weekend signed with the L.A. Lakers. Avery Bradley, 19th overall. Good pick.
Great.
How many guys have we gone through so far between 2003 and 2010 that are outside the top 15 that are good, if not great, picks by the Celtics? They hit on a lot of guys deep in the draft.
And then?
Deep in the first round.
And then they sort of go dry here. They've done less of a good job lately. But I think that that was a hot streak that is not the norm. I think that's an anomaly, the hot streak they went on between 2003 and 2010. And I think that is something you don't see a lot of. Here's what it's been since, and I think this is more the norm in the NBA. 2011, Juwan Johnson at 27. 2012, Jared Sullinger at 21. He fell because of the back problems. He fell. He tumbled down the draft board. And they knew it, and they took a chance, and they got a few years out of him, and I don't even think that's a bad pick. I don't think it's a bad pick at 21. They had him for a few years. And, you know, he had issues. They had issues with him, and he ended up, you know, out of the league. But still, I don't consider that a bad pick. They got a few years out of the player. Fab Mello, 22. Didn't work out. Kelly Olynyk, 13 overall in 2013.
Yeah.
13 feels like you could have done better.
Same as Gerald Green.
Feels like you could have done better there. 2014, James Young at 17. Nothing there. Yeah. 2015, Terry Rozier at 16. Not a terrible pick.
No.
As much as I don't like the guy, not a terrible pick.
You can play.
RJ Hunter at 28. nothing there. 2016, Gershon Yabusele at 16. They whiffed. Nothing there. Ante Yee, as you like to say.
Yee.
At 23 overall. I don't think he's done anything, has he?
He played quite a bit with the Cavaliers, I thought.
I don't think he did. I don't think he played that.
He played
much.
A little bit, but
yeah.
He hasn't done anything.
More than
he's
he
done nothing.
More than he played with the Celtics.
Last year they picked Robert Williams at 27. I think the jury is still out there. Who knows?
Sure.
I think we'll find out. We'll learn more this year if he's grown and if he's growing into an NBA talent and a regular. We'll find out. So we'll leave that one as to be determined. Don't want to say one way or the other yet. But he fell down the draft board, and we'll see if, you know, he's going to be good. He definitely has a lot of potential, so we'll see. But at 27, I think that's where you take some chances. So I don't even know that I even would want to call that one a bad pick. 27 overall. Who cares? The picks down there suck. And so there's more to this about a player that was picked after Yabusele was picked. And I think it's an unfair criticism of the Celtics because on the whole, I think the Celtics have actually done a pretty good job drafting late in the first round. And when we just, and me specifically, just said, I don't think the Celtics are all that good drafting late. Lately, they haven't been good drafting late, but on the whole, they've been pretty good in this department. So that's an unfair criticism. And if you think they haven't been good, take a closer look at the list. They've been better than maybe you think. 617-779-0985. More on that after the action update.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
So everybody wants to point to this, that Pascal Siakam was taken 27th overall in 2016. And that Malcolm Brogdon was taken 36th overall in that draft in 2016. And that Gershon Yabusele was taken 16th overall in that draft.
And DeJounte Murray was like 27 or 28 for the Spurs. He was hurt this year, but he's going to be a good player.
He was 29th. He went 29th in that draft. But there's a bunch of other picks on there that are guys that are not going to turn out to be anything. What about all those other players that other teams took?
There's only legit one other. Outside of those three guys we just mentioned, there's only one other legit NBA player that's going to play for a few years, and that's Jake Layman, the local kid. He just signed a 2 or 3 year deal.
And what number was he taking at?
He was in the second round. But there legitimately were only four NBA quality players drafted after Yabusele. And three of them are not stars, but very good players.
Doesn't that feel like cherry picking a little bit? Doesn't that feel like an unfair criticism of Danny Ainge and the Celtics?
So is it a criticism or is it you need these things to work out to win a title? Because I think you need these things to work out to win a title.
Well, that is true.
Like you need the Siakams of the world.
No.
Here's Kawhi Leonards need. Of the world drafted in the teens. You have guys on every championship team that are drafted outside the top 10 that you need to work out.
You need to draft. Here's what I think you need to do. It's not about the you don't need to hit on the Pascal Siakams at 27 to win a title. You need to hit on the stars.
They needed Siakam to win that title this year.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But that's not why they won. They didn't win because they had Siakam. They won because they had Kawhi Leonard.
But if they didn't have Siakam, I don't think they would have won.
Okay, but the major piece there is...
The Warriors won Draymond Green. They don't win
without
Draymond Green.
But they could have drafted four more Siakams and they're not winning a title. They still would need the piece of Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, who was also drafted 15th overall.
Okay, that's fine, but it's that piece. You need to draft the star. Is what you need to draft. Regardless
so I don't know, Draymond Green. What's Draymond Green then? Is he a star?
He's not. No, he's not.
So, the Warriors needed him to win the title.
He's more on the Siakam level than he is.
Exactly. I think you need those guys. Every team that wins a title needs those guys.
Okay, but those guys can also be sort of found secondarily through signings, through free agency, if you have the major piece. Like, I'm not worried about finding the Pascal Siakam or the Draymond Greens. And the Celtics shouldn't be either. The Celtics' biggest hurdle is finding the Kawhi Leonards, is reeling in the big fish.
But outside of the LeBron teams, and there's no more super teams, outside of those LeBron teams, every team that's won a title has had one of those guys. Even the Celtics with Rondo. Like, you go back for years and years and years, and Tony Parker with the Spurs.
Right, but the Celtics should be more concerned with finding their next KG, not their next Rondo.
Well, there's certainly an order you have to do it in, but I think you need both to win.
Fine, but I'm not worried about finding the Rondo, and I just don't think that should be a concern.
Well,
it shouldn't even really be on the radar.
And those guys kind of happen. It's tough to go out there and look for them and find them.
Yeah, they just haven't happened here in the last 10 years.
Right, but...
And how do you know you don't have that guy? How do you know that Marcus Smart is not that guy already?
Hopefully Langford. Marcus Smart's a number six overall pick, though.
Okay, but he's still not a superstar. He's a complimentary piece. That's a good, you know, glue sort of secondary guy. You might have those guys. That's the thing. You have those guys already. That's the thing. You've got too many of those guys. You need that superstar element.
Because they're not... I shouldn't say they're not tough to find. They're tough to find, but they're not all that uncommon. There's more of those guys than there are finding the next Kevin Durant.
And why are you so obsessed with the number they were drafted at? Kawhi Leonard was 15. It doesn't matter that he was drafted at 15. He's clearly one of the best players in the league, and he's a star, and he's right up there as one of the highest coveted assets in all the NBA. It doesn't matter what he was drafted at. Marcus Smart was drafted sixth. He's not better than Kawhi Leonard.
Well, how are the Celtics going to get these players then?
They have to.
Are you going to rely on the Memphis pick to be a high pick?
No,
I'm not. I'm not going to rely on that Memphis pick to be a high pick.
I'm starting to believe that the only way they're going to get themselves into this situation is by drafting one of those guys. I don't think they're going to be able to do it.
And where are they going to be drafting? Which is why I think it's important. They're going to be drafting in the outside the top 10 most years, unless that Memphis pick works out.
They're not going to get one of those guys outside of the top 10. It's just really, it's so hard to do.
I don't blame Ainge for the Yabusele pick because I know Ainge punted on that draft. He tried to punt on that draft the year before when he offered 4 first-round picks for Justice Winslow. And I can almost guarantee you that the Yabusele and the Zizic picks were in that of those 4 picks that they offered for Justice Winslow, right? Almost guarantee that. He looked at next year's draft and said, oh my God, there's nobody in this draft. I'm going to bail and I'm going to trade 4 first-round picks to get Justice Winslow. And if he had given up those two picks, nobody would have cared.
And they would have had Justice Winslow.
Another wing.
Another wing player, which they're obsessed with.
Got a lot of wings. They're rotten with wings.
A lot of flying. 617-779-0985. But those are sort of two different discussions about where the Celtics are at, where they draft, and outside of the top 10. They're not bad at picking there, but they're better. They're actually better than I thought they were at picking in some of those spots. But I don't even know what that means. Because if they do want to sort of get into that next level, they're going to have to get one of those really, really good picks and use it wisely. 617-779-0985 and have it in the right year. I got a story we need to get to, Hardy, about money.
Yes.
About an armored car.
I have thoughts on this.
I have so many thoughts on this.
First, our introduction. Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is a side note. Steve Miller in concert still sounds amazing. Saw him last summer.
Yeah, but
talking about old acts that still stand up, Steve Miller is one of them.
He believes in Zoe's philosophy. Play the hits.
Oh, does he ever? Plays all the hits.
But doesn't he do
and
like
still stands up and still sounds great?
He does a reggae version of the Joker now. That's the live version I've heard.
No, it was pretty close to the regular version of the Joker.
Well, maybe he abandoned that then. Does he do Abracadabra? Oh, I wouldn't sit still until he did abracadabra.
It's actually a pretty good life, I thought.
Abracadabra, I want to reach out and grab you.
Yeah, I hated the song, but hearing it live, it was good.
I've told you this before, Hardy, but there's a particular gentleman's club in Las Vegas that comes to mind every time I hear that song that I cannot shake the memory of that song.
Because it was playing when something happened in that club?
Yes. Yes. Hmm. Many, many years ago.
What happened?
We can't get into that here and now. We've got something to get
Spearmint
to.
Spearmint Rhino?
No.
Cheetahs?
No. No. No, what? Off the beaten path.
Oh, I think not it's the Diamond Cabaret.
No.
No, it's the one you told me to go to.
We'll talk about it another day.
I know which one. Oh, dirty.
Filthy.
Filthy. Was something girls? What is it?
Let me see if it's still there. Hold on.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about.
It was last year.
It's still there?
Last year it was. I don't know if
what's the name of it?
You say it on the air?
Yes.
Still there.
Little Darlings.
Little Darlings. Oh,
still there.
Yeah. Oh my God, they used to have a haunted I had to work a remote because they did a haunted house at Little Darlings.
13 years ago, yeah.
Beetle, you want to be terrified even more? I think it was my
first trip to Las Vegas. I just graduated college, yeah.
The employees of Little Darlings put on a haunted house out in the parking lot. Like an X-rated haunted house. You think that place is scary just on, you know, a normal day of the year. Going there on Halloween.
Hardy used to work there. Amazing. Well, I mean, remotes there.
We did remotes there. We did remotes at Club Paradise.
Yeah.
Spearmint Rhino.
Yeah, all of them. But that's what comes to mind. Anyway, back to what we were talking about, which is this story out of Atlanta yesterday. We go to our friends at WSB-TV. In Atlanta. All right.
The video everyone is talking about. We just can't get enough of it. A money grab on the perimeter.
And now Dunwoody police hope more people will do the right thing and return some of the $175,000 that flew out of an armored truck. Not from a sky or some fantasy tree. It's someone else's money. Someone else did hand over the cash just in the last 20 minutes. Channel 2's Dave Huddleston talked with police about what could happen if you don't return the money.
I have to turn it in. We were there when Rendell Lewis returned $2,150 to Dunwoody police.
To my mom, my dad, they really trained me well.
Officers say Lewis and dozens of others stopped on the perimeter near Ashford-Dunwoody Road when money flew out of an armored truck Tuesday night.
We had vehicles swerving off the road. We had pedestrians running around in the middle of the interstate.
Sergeant Parsons says the drivers of that interstate just kept driving down the perimeter. They didn't even know they had lost some of their money until another driver told them. I talked with another witness who said she didn't take any money but recorded this video of people grabbing cash off I-285.
It was insane. Like, it made no sense. I thought, okay, maybe it's a movie set, but I don't see, like, cameras. I don't see police, you know, barricading. And then I thought, well, maybe I thought armored truck, but I never saw it.
An armored truck's back doors flew open. And
they
cash was flying out the back door as the armored truck was going down the highway.
See, I don't believe any of this.
This seems so ridiculous that that's why the woman was thinking it was possibly a movie
right.
being filmed.
And I know it happened. I mean, there's video of it. I understand that part of it happened. I don't believe that you can drive around, and maybe you can. I don't know about you, Beetle. I can't drive my car with one of the back doors just 90% closed without having dinging and lights and stuff going on. So you're telling me.
I have a pickup truck, right?
Yes.
Last week, I shut the tailgate. Apparently, I didn't shut it all the way where it clicked.
Right.
And I went to drive out of my driveway. And the dash started buzzing and beeping at me that the tailgate was open. And I'm like, no, it's not.
Right.
And I had to get out and reshut the tailgate. And I was like, oh, I must have not shut it hard enough. And I'm like, how do you drive down the highway with the doors of an armored truck open and there's no alarm on that door?
That's number one.
Wait a minute. And wait, the money's not in some sort of bag?
That's number two.
You got $175,000 just loose in the back of the armored truck, ready to fly out the door?
Got another bag of cash here, Bob. Just dump it in the back.
This story is insane.
Which leads me to believe these armored truck guys knew what they were doing. They're pissed off
last
at the company.
Last day on the job. They're
pissed off
about
something. How much do armored car drivers make?
Not enough.
Probably not a whole lot. You know, like security guard money, maybe a little bit more.
Union job?
I have no idea. But
they say it could be in the neighborhood of $175,000 that they believe flew out the back door of the truck while they were driving.
Wow.
Police and the crew that were there were able to collect only about $200, mostly in small bills, which if you're doing the quick math means that $174,800 was picked up on the road by motorists that were passing by.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves them, and as of this morning, a little over $4,000 had been turned into police by various people who were caught on video because people filmed people picking up the money, and they caught license plates, and they said, anyone who was on film, we have your license plates. If we have your license plate, we will be charging you with stealing the money. So people have shown up to turn in money. So that means $4,000 is back, plus the $200. That means they're only, $170,000 short, we'll say, on the money. There's still $170,000 out there they need to find.
Charge you with what? What happened to the legal standard of finders keepers? Does that not apply?
Apparently not. But let me ask you this. If you were to pick up, I don't know, let's say $5,000 on the side of the road.
Yep.
And you say, oh, I got to go to the police station and turn it in. What's to say you don't go to the police station and turn in
$3,000
and say, yeah, I was there and I picked this up and I'm here to turn in my $3,000. And yes, I do have a 65-inch brand new TV in the back of my car that I just picked up at Best Buy on the way home.
I was right there and took this picture when James Gregory also returned some money. He told me he picked up about $500, but this morning felt terrible and wanted to turn the money in.
Do the right thing, return the money. I mean, we certainly understand, you know, the temptation of that. You see the money falling from the sky.
But like when...
Meanwhile, he's got a bulge in his pocket like he shoved a softball in there with the other $7,000 that he scooped up.
Here's what he did.
$500.
He sounds like a man of God. He took his $7,000, he took $500 to church, he took $500 to the police station, and he took $6,000 home. That's what he did.
Beetle,
rid himself of the guilt.
Tell you something.
He's a man of temptation.
You're a borderline sociopath, though. You have a very devious mind.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the sporting director and head coach of the New England Revolution. It's Bruce Arena with us once again. Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
We're doing well. Talk to me about the big news, the big report that's out there about Gustavo Bow. What do you know?
We're very fortunate we signed a good player. He comes to us from the Mexican League, in Argentine. Nationality, but an outstanding player in the attacking end of the field, has a great history of scoring goals and creating goal scoring opportunities.
Where do you see him playing? Is he going to be in that forward position? Is he going to be a midfielder? Where does he work into the configurations that you're using
now? He'll probably be playing underneath our striker.
Okay. I got to ask you about the game in Colorado the other night. You've coached at a lot of levels, played a lot of levels. You can't tell me that wasn't torturous, though, with the delays that you had to wade through.
Yeah, that was crazy. Absolutely,
I mean,
crazy.
Is that the most brutal game that you've ever had to sit through?
It was difficult on the players more than me. I could tell you that. But, you know, on top of everything else, we're playing at 5,200 feet, so we're playing in altitude. And the longer you're in altitude, you feel the effects of it. And our guys, from start to finish that night on the field for about 5.5 hours.
It's an unbelievable amount of time. But you maintained the streak that you're on right now, a league-best 7-game unbeaten streak. And I guess it's just more of the same. We ask you this every week, Bruce, but, you know, what is it? Is it just allowing the players to do their own thing and kind of finding a way to reinvigorate them?
Well, no team can be successful, all the players are doing their own thing. We're playing together as a team. We're obviously playing into our strengths and not our weaknesses. The players are very receptive to our coaching. They work hard for each other on the field, and, you know, they're becoming a complete team. And I think the previous first half of the season, the team didn't play up to their capabilities. And now I think we're beginning to see that they're perhaps a little better than they showed in the first, dozen games of the season.
This is obviously big news with the Gustavo Bo news, but on top of that, what are the chances that you could add more before the transfer window closes on August 7th?
Well, there's a possibility. You know, the transfer window implies two things in our league. It could be a trade window as well. So there's a possibility we can bring in other players from different MLS clubs, or we can look abroad for another player or two. Right now, we're evaluating what's out there, and if there's a chance to secure the right kind of player, we would make another move to.
Okay, Coach. Appreciate the time as always. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you for having me on today. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
They got Wayne Rooney coming up on Friday night, too. I can't believe that guy's still in the league. I think he scored the fourth most goals in the MLS. Wayne Rooney's been playing forever. DC United.
How old is he now?
DC United on Friday night. I will double check. But, I mean, do the games with Clyde Sims, and he knows Wayne. I mean, he knows a lot of the guys. 33. Yeah. It's legit. I mean, he's obviously came up in the English leagues, but he's been playing for a long time. I mean, people have known the name Wayne Rooney for a long time now. And he's still a factor. They have to go in there and they have to, you know, not just like, oh yeah, Wayne Rooney's on this team. No, they got a game plan for him. But that's it's another good test for them on Friday night. They keep this thing going. It's an unbelievable turnaround for this team this season.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.